Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 14. Clinton Kirk Lines. I met up with Bill Clinton again in 1982 at a county fair in Berryville, Arkansas. Alex Houston was entertaining there due to the close proximity of the CIA Near Death Trauma Center, also known as Slave Conditioning and Programming Camp, and Drug Distribution Point at Swiss Villa in Lamp, Missouri. I had just endured intense physical and psychological trauma and programming. Clinton was campaigning for governor and was backstage with Hillary and Chelsea while waiting to make a speech. Clinton stood in the afternoon sun with his arms crossed, talking to Houston about him and his people, CIA operatives, being looked into specific areas for the dual purpose of entertaining and carrying out specific covert drug operations. From my perspective, those who were actively laying the groundwork for implementing the New World Order through mind conditioning of the masses made no distinction between Democratic and Republican parties. Their aspirations were international in proportion, not American. Members were often drawn from, among other elitist groups, the Council on Foreign Relations. Like George Bush, Bill Clinton was an active member of the CFR, Bilderbergers, and Trilateral Commission. Based on numerous conversations I overheard, Clinton was being groomed and prepared to fill the role of president under the guise of Democrat in the event that the American people became discouraged with Republican leaders. This was further evidenced by the extent of Clinton's New World Order knowledge and professed loyalties. Clinton understood that I had just been through hell in Lamp, and took it all in stride as he focused on his speech. He not only was well aware of the mind control tortures and criminal covert activities proliferating in Arkansas and the neighboring state of Missouri, but he condoned them. Just as there are no partisan preferences in this world dominance effort, neither are there any strong individual state considerations or boundaries, either. I knew from experience that Clinton's Arkansas criminal covert operations meshed with the Lamp, Missouri center where he routinely tended business and claimed to vacation, staying in the compound's resort villas. In 1983, Houston took me to Lamp for routine trauma and programming while he was scheduled to entertain at the amphitheater. Also scheduled to perform were Bill Clinton's and George Bush's friends Lee Greenwood and CIA operative, slave runner, and country music singer Tommy Overstreet. Greenwood and Overstreet were active in both the Lamp, Missouri and Lake/Mount Shasta, California CIA compounds. Clinton was flown in from Berryville, Arkansas by helicopter for the shows as well as for a business meeting. Before Clinton arrived, Greenwood and Houston were in the backstage dressing rooms snorting fine after fine of cocaine. Houston, always eager to make an extra penny to pinch, attempted to prostitute me to Greenwood. "She's the real performer," Houston said. "She performs all kinds of sex acts upon command. For a small price, she's yours." Greenwood laughed, and referring to my Huntsville, Alabama NASA programming said, "I've spent more time in Huntsville than she has, and I know full well who and what she is, a space cadet programmed for sex. She's a modified version of Marilyn Monroe." Tommy Overstreet had waited in and heard what Greenwood said. "How much time have you spent in Shasta?" "Shasta?" Greenwood looked arrogantly at Overstreet and smiled knowingly as he said, "You don't spend time in Shasta, you maintain the concept if you can." "I haven't lost any time there, either, if that's your next question. I go there quite a bit enough really to override Houston's suggestion with ease and take what I want, when I want, and how I want it." Greenwood began expertly accessing my sex programming and told the others in the room, "You all can come and go as you please, but I've been made an offer that I am going to use." He ordered me to undress and bend over the desk where he roughly sodomized me as he said, "You're going to think it's daddy all over again." When Greenwood was through with me, I was ordered out into the amphitheater concert area. During intermission, I met up with Swiss Villa manager Hal Meadows, Tommy Overstreet, and Governor Clinton in the hall. Clinton was wearing a cap that read, "Diesel Trainer," which I was told to equate literally as, "These will train her." Puzzled, I looked at his cap and asked, "Are you a conductor?" Clinton smiled and said, "Of electricity." Overstreet laughed as he continued, "Actually it means I check cabooses. How's yours?" I squirmed. Apparently Greenwood had bragged about sodomizing me. They laughed even harder as Clinton said, "Still running, I'm sure." Houston stepped out of the dressing room to greet Clinton, "Hi, bud." Houston extended his hand, "I hear you made governor." "I hear you deliver a hell of a one-liner," Clinton replied, cryptically referring to cocaine and not Houston's so-called comedy routine, "I'm always aspiring to achieve new heights." "Well, come on in," Houston invited, "I have enough cocaine to put us all into orbit." I walked into the dressing room with them as Houston was saying to Clinton, "I suppose there are no limits for you since you're across the stale line." "What line?" Clinton feigned surprise and ignorance. He looked at Hal Meadows as he continued, "You mean I've left that state of mind?" "In the state of mind I'm in, there are no boundaries anyway." He walked over to the table and snorted a line of cocaine, "I come here to get away from it all. This kind of business is pleasure." "So where's that young wife of yours?" Houston asked, referring to Hillary. "She's with friends." Clinton sniffed the coke further up his nose, "She's minding her own business. I'm just here to unwind, see the show, maybe do a little hunting," referring to a most dangerous game. "I've got a bird, helicopter, ready to fly me back when I'm through." "Hey, speaking of bird," he gestured my way, "I hear she's moved up to the big house, White House." Referring to his friend and mentor Senator Byrd, he asked, "So what's his position now?" "The same," Houston answered, "probably like this." Houston pantomimed a lewd sodomy pose while everyone laughed, "He still runs the show." Clinton kept his eyes fixed on Houston's caboose and said, "Why don't you show her," referring to me way out and show me that again. If I could have thought at that moment, I would have realized Bill Clinton was / bisexual. My personal sexual experience with Clinton was limited, but I had witnessed him engaged in homosexual activity during an orgy at Swiss Villa. Immediately following the Swiss Villa incident, Houston was scheduled as usual to perform at the county fair in Bennyville, Arkansas. There, Houston and I had been visiting with longtime Clinton friend and supporter, H.B. Gibson, when we parted company to attend a private meeting at the mansion of Clinton's bisexual friend and supporter Bill Hall. Hall had reportedly made his fortune in the prefabricated log home business, and the Clintons were slaying in a guest villa patterned after those at Swiss Villa. Hillary had taken toddler Chelsea to the villa while Clinton and his aide/bodyguard attended the meeting. Tommy Overstreet was also in attendance as this directly coincided with the recent LAMP meeting. We all sat in Hall's sunken living room on two couches facing each other with a black mirror coffee table between us. Hall had cut numerous lines of cocaine on the table, and everyone present including Bill Clinton was inhaling it through $50 bills rolled into straws. The conversation ranged from CIA, drugs, and politics to the Swiss Villa amphitheater and country music. At that time, a major effort was underway to move Nashville, Tennessee's country music industry to the LAMP area. It has since literally moved to nearby Branson, in closer proximity to the CIA cocaine operations that leached the industry. Tommy Overstreet was attempting to convince Hall, who was obviously no stranger to the drug, cocaine, business, to join the high-level CIA cocaine operation that was funding covert activity. They discussed the possibility of Hall transporting cocaine from Berryville, Arkansas to Nashville, Tennessee to be in on the ground level of what would soon be one of the largest and most prolific CIA cocaine operations, the Branson, Missouri country music industry. By enlisting now, the contacts and customers that Hall would procure could, politically and financially, bolster him for life. Additionally, Overstreet discussed the viability of using Hall's own company trucks to transport the drug throughout Atlanta, Georgia, Louisville, Kentucky, and Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Nashville, Tennessee, and Lamp, Missouri. These key CIA cocaine routes coincided with Hall's established truck routes, according to the insiders present at the meeting. Hall was being offered the opportunity of a lifetime, as his role would also include laundering money through his business to fund the black budget covert operations. Hall appeared nervous and skeptical, and Clinton and Overstreet attempted to maintain a light atmosphere by joking that Hall could change the name of his trucking line to Clinton Kirk Lines. Hall was not convinced and began to raise questions as to the longevity of the operation and how he was going to protect himself. Although Hall was very adept at the cocaine business, he voiced concern that he found it easier to trust those who were not with the CIA operations than he did U.S. government-protected participants. Clinton reassured him that it was Reagan's operation, but Hall was concerned that some faction of the government would shut it down like a sting operation, without warning, and leave him literally holding the bag. Houston laughed and explained that no one was going to cut it, the drug business, off. He assured them it was far too lucrative and that there would always be a market for drugs, a market controlled by those criminals implementing their new world order. Clinton added to what Houston said, talking in local colloquialisms. Bottom line is, we've got control of the drug industry, therefore we've got control of them, suppliers and buyers. You control the guy underneath you, and Uncle Sam has you covered. What have you got to lose? No risk. No one's gonna hang you out to dry. And whatever spills off the truck as it passes through, he laughed and snorted another line of coke, you get to clean up. Hall smiled at his friend, which was apparently interpreted as consent. Clinton motioned for his aide to get his ledger. Overstreet began pulling out his paperwork, and Hall neatly cleared the table of the remaining coke lines. Clinton gestured to me and told Houston, get her out of here. Houston didn't move and laughed, she's a presidential model. She's kept secrets bigger than yours. Clinton responded, I don't care. Get her the fuck out of here. Hall's wife led me away and locked me in a back bedroom. After an indeterminate period of time, I heard her telephone Hillary at the guest villa. She then drove me up the mountain through the dark to meet with Hillary. Although I had previously met Hillary, we had very little to say to each other, particularly since I was still dazed and tranced from the tortures I had endured at the CIA near-death trauma center in Lamp. Hillary knew I was a mind-controlled slave, and, like Bill Clinton, just took it in stride as a normal part of life in politics. Hillary was fully clothed and stretched out on the bed sleeping when Hall's wife and I arrived. Hillary, I brought you something you'll really enjoy. Kind of an unexpected surprise. Bill ordered her out of the meeting and I took her to my bedroom and made an interesting discovery. She is literally a tough-faced, referring to my vaginal mutilation carving, bitch, HMM. Hillary opened her eyes and sleepily roused herself, show me. Hall's wife ordered me to take my clothes off while Hillary watched, is she clean? Hillary asked, meaning disease-free. Of course, she's birds, she responded, continuing the conversation as though I were not there. Plus, I heard Houston say something about her being a presidential model, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. It means she's clean, Hillary said matter-of-factly as she stood up. I was not capable of giving thought to such things back then, but I am aware in retrospect that all presidential model slaves I knew seemed to have an immunity to social diseases. It was a well-known fact in the circles I was sexually passed around in that government-level mind-controlled sex slaves were clean to the degree that none of my abusers took precautions such as wearing condoms. Hall's wife patted the bed and instructed me to display the mutilation. Hillary exclaimed, God, and immediately began performing oral sex on me. Apparently aroused by the carving in my vagina, Hillary stood up and quickly peeled out of her matronly nylon panties and pantyhose. Uninhibited despite a long day in the hot sun, she gasped, "Eat me, oh, God, eat me now." I had no choice but to comply with her orders, and Bill Hall's wife made no move to join me in my distasteful task. Hillary had resumed examining my hideous mutilation and performing oral sex on me when Bill Clinton walked in. Hillary lifted her head to ask, "How'd it go?" Clinton appeared totally unaffected by what he walked into, tossed his jacket on a chair and said, "It's official. I'm exhausted. I'm going to bed." I put my clothes on as ordered, and Hall's wife drove me back down to the mansion where Houston was waiting for me. The meeting apparently had been a success. I heard discussions throughout the remaining years between Houston, his agent Reggie McLaughlin, and Loretta Lynn's handler, Ken Riley, pertaining to Hall's successful branch of the CIA cocaine operation emanating from Arkansas. No discussions were as poignant and revealing as those between Alex Houston and CIA operative country music entertainer Boxcar Willie. Boxcar Willie burst onto the country music scene after an ad campaign of high-tech hypnotically persuasive produced television commercials that strategically made him an overnight sensation and star. The country music industry's Freedom Train needed a conductor to lead the industry and fans to Branson, Missouri, and Boxcar Willie was placed in the driver's seat. Like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, Boxcar Willie succeeded in his role of transferring the industry in close proximity to the LAMP CIA cocaine operations. Boxcar Willie was one of the primary ground-level contacts that Bill Hall made after Clinton convinced him to cash in on the cocaine benefits of the country music industry transfer. Houston and Boxcar Willie discussed Hall's lucrative dealings throughout the years in my presence while traveling the country together, billed on the same shows, including performances at the Swiss Villa Amphitheater. I had much contact with Boxcar Willie personally since my government-sponsored cocaine runs often coincided and intermixed with his. But I never knew Boxcar Willie as well as my daughter, Kelly, knew him. Kelly has named Boxcar Willie as one of her primary sexual abusers in three different mental institutions, and has voiced frustration at the lack of justice. "Why am I the one locked up while my abusers remain free?" she constantly pleads. I assure her I am doing all I can to blow the whistle on Boxcar Willie for hex, and expose his role in transferring the country music industry to close proximity of the LAMP, Missouri CIA cocaine operation as outlined by Bill Clinton. 1. Loyalty to the sovereign of our country is non-existent under New World Orders. President Clinton poses no more leadership or loyalty to our country than Ronald Reagan did since both follow Ed, New World Order directives from former UN Ambassador and CIA Director George Bush too. Hillary Clinton is the only female to become sexually aroused at the sight of my mutilated vagina.